Craig Bolanos joins us, the CEO and founding partner with Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Welcome back, Craig. How are you?
John, great to be with you. What a newsworthy week. There were elections. There was a Fed meeting, and you said it, Dow 44,000, S&P 6,000. Plenty of content for you and I to banter about on a Friday.
I thought you would say something like that. So what jumps out at you the most? I mean, most recently, it's these markets. I wonder what your interpretation of that is.
Well, I think if anything, it's this. You know, I'm still looking at the house because it hasn't been fully settled and bedded yet. But it appears to me the market has fully priced in now a extension of the TCJA, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And I tell you, the market didn't anticipate that that was going to happen. And with this, is it a bullish game changer? No, the economy was already doing okay. No, the stock market was already doing well. But I think what it does is it provides some legs for this rally to extend through the end of the year and perhaps kick off 2025 on a good foot.
But that's anticipating regulatory changes. It's not the fundamentals of these companies. Hey, I want the market to go as high as it can go, but I'm just wondering how real this is.
You know, when people say, is it real, is it not? You know, the first question is this. You know, with markets being at all-time highs, is it a bad time to invest? I remind investors that there's these old, old axioms. New highs tend to beget new highs. The trend is your friend. And if we look at things, this soft landing, John, is still intact. Maybe it's actually going to be no landing. We're doing some in-flight refueling, as hard as that is to believe. But I do think some of the changes are substantial and material. And I think we're seeing evidence that the generative AI is improving the bottom lines in worker productivity in non-tech related companies. And that's going to help profits continue to roll in into the future.
Okay, well, we can talk about generative AI, but it sounds like you're saying, though, that really this is anticipating the new administration and the new Congress, and it's going to be so favorable to business that these jumps in the markets, however preliminary, are real, that this is going to be sustainable, right?
I think we're pulling forward right now what would be some of 2025 gains, assuming there is, in fact, this view. I don't know that the view is right, that the agenda and the votes are there for pro-growth policies of deregulation, less red tape. The elephant in the room, of course, is you got to pay attention to treasury yields and the potential for trade issues that could very well come up in 2025.
Well, are you surprised that the market seems to be ignoring that right now?
You know, well, I don't know that the market's ignoring it. I mean, if you take a look at stocks of importers, they obviously haven't done well since the election was settled late in Tuesday night and a Wednesday morning. You look at China, I don't think they're doing that well when I look at their indices relative to dollar terms. And what did China announce this morning? A $1.4 trillion stimulus package. Maybe China's trying to get ahead of some economic slowdown that they might experience as a byproduct of a Trump victory and what looks to be a red wave in Congress.
As Steve Alexander just had the story of, is it Steve Madden, the shoe manufacturer? The shoes are made largely in China and anticipating tariffs that will make it less profitable for them. They're going to move the manufacturing. That's the promise of high tariffs, but not to the United States, Steve said, maybe to Cambodia or Vietnam. I don't know what that means vis-a-vis these trade wars, but obviously importers are noticing or are anticipating high tariffs. Do you think that that will actually happen?
You know, I want to remind everybody that it's not correct that President-elect Trump has unchecked powers to levy tariffs. He doesn't. What is correct, though, is that if his administration meets certain burdens of proof to greenlight tariffs against a country, well, that can happen. China's probably in the crosshairs. But with so many of our other trading partners that we have legal treaties with, think Mexico, etc., there's not broad powers to make any big moves. But yes, there is going to be a redirection of capital based on how tariffs do or do not play out on a global stage. And some companies are wise to hedge their bets so they don't get caught offsides.
What impact is the Fed having on the markets right now? Are those separate? Are these parallel tracks, or are they intersecting a little bit?
There is some cross-pollinization. There is some intersection. The market was very, I'm going to call it, relieved to hear that the Federal Reserve gave us what we expected, which is that 0.25% reduction yesterday. I think the market is still very convinced that we'll have a follow-on or a repeat of another 0.25% worth of saving in December. But the market now, as a result of the election, is changing its tune. And I think the Fed is also hedging a bit as well during their transcripts, where a rate cut by the Fed in January is no longer guaranteed. The Fed may go on pause in early 2025, because we have to remember that if there's large stimulus that comes through an easy passage of legislation in Congress, that in itself might re-spark inflation, and the Fed's going to have to know how that's going to play out before they continue with their policy.
Craig Bolanos joins us, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. He's a believer in this market run that we've had. This is a bull market. Wasn't it you, Craig, that said that the average bull market lasts something like 50 months and we were only 13 months in when you said it?
I most certainly did. I think this party's going to continue, due in large part to no one believes it. You're right, John. Bull markets die with euphoria, and normal investors and people all around the globe still don't feel euphoric, and that means markets can continue to climb a wall of worry and trade higher.
So you talked a little bit about the Fed and interest rates. You see 0.25% coming, but you're not so certain about January, right? Well, we just had 1/4. You see another 1/4 in maybe December, but not January. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to have a pause starting in 2025. I think it would actually be responsible for the Fed to do such because, again, depending on what you see in terms of tax policy, maybe we talk about that, fiscal stimulus programs, the Fed wants to make sure they're not offsides in case Congress ends up working against them inadvertently by re-sparking inflation.
Well, I hope all this works out. I'm pretty skeptical, though, and I wonder, too, if you reduce corporate taxes and taxes on the highest earners in this country, the wealthiest people, I'm being asked to believe that it'll all trickle down. Is that what we are betting on? So tariffs and lower taxes are going to stimulate the economy so much that we'll be able to reduce debt and provide for the needs of people. That's the plan, right? It's not going to spark inflation. It's not going to maybe lead us into a recession. I'm almost done with the question I'm asking. Remember that economists said before the election that, in fact, that would happen. Craig?
Well, you know what? Tax cuts are a signature part of his program, right? And I think if he's got the will and the mandate now with Congress, you know, at a minimum, there's going to be an extension of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And I do think that part at least is important. I don't know that anybody should be going any further than that, because the Tax Cut and Jobs Act did lower that corporate tax from 35 to 21. That makes us competitive. It did reduce the individual income tax rates up and down the spectrum, increase the standard deduction. That's all good. I mean, if you're asking for some opinion, I'd love to see them focus a little bit on the child tax credit and expanding that for kids 0 to 6. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance had suggested that. But we need to be careful how much we cut in taxes, because if the economy doesn't grow assertively, all we end up doing is adding to the deficit, and that could have the bad vigilantes come back out and get us all in trouble.
Well, do you worry about that? I mean, nobody does, but it's right there, right? I mean, does there come a point where some administration is going to feel the consequences of the debt and the deficit?
Yeah, I mean, correct or not, the market is celebrating these perceived pro-growth policies because there was some rhetoric on the other side of the table about raising corporate tax rates. But the bond market, what is oftentimes viewed as the smart money, if you look at bond yields, you can see that the bond market views Republican control of Washington as somewhat negative for debts and deficits. And that's one of the reasons that even though the Fed has cut rates, mortgage rates really haven't gone down here because the 10-year Treasury is staying high. So ultimately, yes, this is all going to come home to roost. Someone's going to have to deal with it. And we all know that you can't continue to write checks, that your economy cannot necessarily cash. And we're finally getting to that point where the interest on our debt is so large and substantive, we're starting to get into some tougher waters.
And mortgage rates are based on the Treasury yields?
Yes. You know, the Federal Reserve cutting rates yesterday, it's going to help with credit cards. It's going to ultimately help with some things of that nature. But other stuff like mortgage rates, taking a look at student loan rates, those aren't tied to the federal funds rate. Those are tied to market rates, activities in the bond market. And what the bond market is telling us is the bond market's a little bit weary of trade wars. The bond market's a little bit weary of what could be some increases in the deficit if things work the way they did in 2016. So that doesn't mean the bond market's right. It doesn't mean the administration's right. It just means all of this is a difficult needle to thread because there's a lot of variables that go into policy decisions and the complexity of a global economy.
One more thing, Craig, though, you said the trend is your friend. So if I have another $1,000, I won the lottery, I've inherited $1,000. I mean, where would you put any investable cash right now?
For investable cash, I think you still have to favor U.S. markets as an overweight. And I think you should also take a look at adding to the places that are underrepresented in most people's portfolios, that are value stocks, financial stocks, insurance stocks, energy companies, and don't forget the S&P 600, which is small caps, as opposed to being overweight in the S&P 500. That's how I would be positioning an additional $1,000 of long-term investment.
And if I were adjusting that little pie chart, would I stay away from foreign stocks?
I think it's really hard to overweight foreign equity right now based on currency and based on potential tariffs. Don't get me wrong, John. Emerging markets are cheap. Europe and Far East is cheap. The PEs are low, but they're low for a reason. Not all countries have come out as well as we have post-COVID. Not all economies are humming at the same pace. And I would rather be a little bit late to the party internationally as opposed to taking a chance and going early.
But here, the NASDAQ is even doing well, right? The tech stocks are seeing new highs as well, right?
Yeah, and it's not just the companies in the Magnificent Seven. You're seeing a broadening in technology because, again, there's other players besides just the Magnificent Seven. Qualcomm had a good week. There's a number of companies that have had good weeks. And what that tells to somebody involved in markets like myself is I love it when we see broader participation, more stocks helping the cause than just a handful. I mean, we're not fully there yet, but it looks like a pretty decent recipe on a Friday afternoon.
You can reach Craig Bolanos at investwithwmg.com. Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Nice to talk to you today, Craig.
Thanks, Jack. Great to be with you.